Build for Action, powered by His Spirit, exactly what we're talking about today as we kind of walk through each of these weeks. The scripture today said, and you can read along with me, when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up and a cloud took Him out of their sight. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, help us to hear Your voice this morning, not mine. We're grateful for the miracle that You performed. Teach us more in Christ's name. Amen. As we're looking at this, there are a number of things. This is Jesus' opportunity to say goodbye to His disciples. And so as He was thinking about that, we're trying to process through. There's certain things that are a part of goodbyes that are always characteristic that we would be able to say. There are like three basic aspects of that. The one would be they review the time spent together. When you're kind of getting ready to say goodbye. I thought about this. Our kids had the opportunity of being with us for like 5 days last week. And so not often do both of them get to come from New York and from Boston, and they kind of came and we just had a great time together. But when we were saying goodbye, we kind of reviewed, first of all, boy, it was really great having you guys here. We just loved being together. Thank you so much. So that was the first aspect. The second aspect of a goodbye is stay in touch. And so we would say, now text us when you get home, let us know that you're there, keep in touch, let us know how things are going. And so you kind of make that your second thought. The third thought that is a part of that is you talk about your next visit. And so that's exactly what we did. Well, we can't wait because we're all going to get together again when we go on vacation, because we try to vacation together every year as a family. An extended family, and so that's always a great opportunity. So those three aspects were very much a part of most goodbyes that we have when we talk to one another. Well, this happened to be 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days before Pentecost. 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days before Pentecost, and Jesus met with His disciples, and He gives them His last goodbye on earth. And when He does, He's going to kind of review all of those things with the disciples, those three parts that He's going to be talking about, what it was like, the time that they spent together, and what God was doing, and what His purpose and mission that was a part of that. The importance that He is now going to stay in touch with them by the Holy Spirit that He is sending. And then the next time He sees them, He's going to be returning in the clouds. So He really gives this whole sense of goodbye to them in that same way. Well, Scripture said it this way, then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Now, this is what God does on a regular basis through His Word. When you're reading the Word, it's not just like everyday language. You're reading something that's supernatural, and the Holy Spirit has to open your mind to understand it. And that's a powerful tool that He gives to us to understand His Word. So many times I'll hear people say, Pastor, when you spoke, it was just like there was no one else in the room. It was like what you were saying was exactly what I needed to hear. I'll hear that time and again. And when I hear that, I'm just grateful, because what that's saying is that God's Word was alive and it spoke right into the heart of each listener. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not me, and that's why I always pray that God will not, my words won't be heard, but God's Word would be heard, because that's what the importance, and when He opens their minds to understand Scripture, it changes things. And this is what happened to the disciples. You kind of almost wonder, like what were they thinking before this? Like why didn't they know He was going to die and be in the grave 3 days and then resurrected? Like, he said that. In fact, the Roman knew that. They even posted guards just to make sure nobody could say that happened, and they stole His body. And yet somehow the disciples, it kind of went right over their head. And like, why? Well, I can only tell you this. Sometimes emotion clouds our thinking, and emotion keeps us from thinking exactly clearly about things, and that happens to a lot and to a lot of us. But when the Holy Spirit opens our minds, then we understand things at a whole new level. And that's what now happened to the disciples. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, lifting up his hands to heaven. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. This is at the close of the book of Luke. Now, Luke, the physician, he wrote not only Luke, the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote Acts. And so as you go and see the detail that's in both those books, helps you to understand his detailed mind and thinking. But then in Acts chapter 1, he continues this story. So as you read the close of Luke, and then the beginning of Acts, you can be able to see that whole picture that is painted for us in our understanding. Now, Jesus' earthly ministry was complete. He had to return to heaven. So everything was done. And that's why when he said these words, it wasn't, when he said, it is finished, it wasn't just like, I'm done. The work that I had to do is finished. It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And you notice he gave his spirit. It wasn't taken from him. Nobody took that. He gave. And that's important that we would understand. So he gave up his spirit, and the work that he'd been sent to do was done. Now, Jesus going allowed the Spirit's coming. And so that's the importance of understanding. He tells us that very clearly. He had to go, that the Spirit would come. And Scripture says it this way, but in fact, it was in John, earlier he told them, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go, then I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit is referred to as an Advocate. We talked about that last week, but the fact is that he would represent Jesus. So whatever Jesus was would say and be, the Advocate would come. So when you invite Jesus into your heart and you give control of your life to him, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and then represents Jesus. And so he would be the Advocate. Now, he says this twice. He says, I'm going to send another Advocate. So we'll see a little bit later. Jesus is also referred to as the Advocate. Now, Jesus' heavenly ministry needed his presence. So his earthly ministry was done. He brought glory to the Father, and he completed what he had to do. But now his heavenly ministry would begin. Scripture says this, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Yeah, what a great thing to know that the advocate is Jesus, and he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What an incredible thing that we have. Now, Jesus had to go so that he could come again. So we know that there were two coming. Jesus would come twice. He'd come in his first coming, and he would come and then complete his ministry here on earth. And then there's the second coming that would happen. And at the second coming, now we don't know all the details of when his second coming would be. We do know that two things we would say, imminent, which means soon, and literal, which means literally his body, he will come physically. And so we know that those two things are present. It says that every eye will see him. And so we know that at his second coming. We know that's also true. It's an interesting thing when we look at it, and my personal perspective and understanding Scripture would say that there were two aspects of his first coming, both a public and a private. Publicly, he came in his ministry through the triumphal entry. That was when it really became very, very public. Up to that point, it was, you know, somewhat isolated in towns and cities as he would move around. But in the triumphal entry, it was like proclaimed as he was king at that point. That was his public. And then private, after he was resurrected, he appeared to believers. He didn't appear to anybody else, just believers. Over 500 did he appear to. So there were two aspects of his first coming. That's why I believe there are two aspects to his second coming. There's to just believers, and that's what we would call the rapture, when that would happen. And his second, the second aspect of his second coming would be that every eye would see him. So both believers and unbelievers. So there's two aspects, and that's how I see, looking at that, I see two aspects of both. Now, Jesus had to go so that he could come again. Scripture says it this way in Revelation. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. And so we know his second coming is literal and imminent soon. Now, if anybody gives you a date, they're wrong. So don't buy that. Nobody can give a date. It says no one would know. But you will know the season. And what that means is just when we look around us, like when the leaves start turning, I hate to talk about this right now, but when the leaves start turning color, we know fall is coming, and then we know winter is afterward, right? So we understand the seasonal change. And what we're seeing now in our world is we're starting to see seasonal change. That's why we believe the Lord's coming is soon in all of that. And that's what he said. You will know by the seasons. And so as you're looking around, you'll start to see things. Now, Jesus' heavenly ministry is what he was moving toward and what he was longing for. So that's what we'll talk about. What was that? First, he had to return to the Father. And so there was that reunion that would happen that had always been in existence, but they had been separate while Jesus was here on earth. Scripture says it this way, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So Jesus had completed, it is finished. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. And so he was being reunited in that sense, in that same glory. We also know that he is now interceding for us. This is such good news. Isn't it incredible to think that the one who knows you best is interceding for you? You see, he became like us. He came down, assumed a human body. He knows us intimately and knows what we feel and what we experience because he felt and experienced all those things. And yet, now he's in heaven interceding for us. An incredible gift. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. And so he is there. And then it says, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. And who is that? Christ Jesus. Now, we live in a culture today and in a world where we're here constantly hearing that there are many ways to God. And that we all many pathways, and we all serve one God. We're hearing this from religious leaders. We're hearing it across our world. And it's not just a kind of an eclectic thought that has happened out in our culture, but it's unfortunately coming from religious directions. But the fact is, Scripture says no. And we don't follow that. We don't believe that. We believe just what Scripture says. There is one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and humanity, and who is it? It's Jesus. That's it. That's as simple as it is. And that's why we follow the scripture and say, nope, there are not many pathways. There's one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so that's an important part, and it's, scripture bears it out over and over, but the importance of our understanding there is just one God. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So he is interceding with God on your behalf, on my behalf. Yes. The person who knows us best, loves us most, gave his life for us, is representing us and interceding for us and saying, but I know them. I've given them grace. Yes, that's the good news. Jesus is our advocate in heaven. So he is our advocate. And so this is what scripture tells us. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, somebody who represents us, who pleads our case before the Father. An advocate who pleads our case. What a great thing to know that you have the best attorney possible who pleads our case before the Father. He is Christ Jesus, the one who is truly righteous. Yes, that's who pleads for us. That's who represents us when we are thinking about that. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's his position. That's where he is now. Scripture tells us, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Remember, the disciples didn't quite get this. Remember, they were asking, James and John wanted to sit on the right or on the left. And so he said, no, that's not for you. Because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Jesus is reigning as judge and king of heaven. More good news, folks, more good news. If you were going to trial and you walked in and saw your brother was the judge, wouldn't you think, well, I hope you have a good relationship with your brother, but wouldn't you think, I have someone there who's going to represent me. Somebody, yes, this is good. Because Jesus has become our brother. God is our Father. He is also our judge. He not only represents us, but he is our judge. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Revelation says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. He judges. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word is Jesus. On his robe, at his thigh, was written the title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Yes. Good news, folks. Good news. But let me say this. Our work is not complete. It's not complete. When Jesus was ascended into heaven, just imagine you were there with the disciples at this time. And you're all just kind of, he's telling you all these words and telling you all these things. And you kind of feel like this is a goodbye that's happening. But then suddenly he starts to rise. And he goes up into heaven. And there you are, like watching the clouds because he just disappeared. Now, defying nature is nothing new for Jesus. He was dead, and he was resurrected. So they'd already seen that part. Defying nature was, and natural laws wasn't new either. They'd already witnessed him do miracles. I mean, they'd witnessed him stopping a storm, like he had power over nature. They'd seen him heal people and bring blind people to sight and restoring arms and casting out demons and all these miracles that have been apart. So once again, they're watching a miracle in their presence. But you know, he still does miracles. He's still defying natural laws, and he's still working. And so wouldn't it be natural to stand there and continue watching? I think for a little bit. But obviously, they said, Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So don't just keep staring into space. What does that tell every one of us? You're not saved to sit in a chair or a pew. You're saved to do something. You don't just stand there and look around and say, isn't this great that we're all here? No. You need to put into practice something that you're hearing, that God is speaking to you. The ascension shows us how we should spend our life looking up. The story is told of a little boy who went outside on a windy spring day to fly his new kite. As the wind blew, the kite flew higher and higher until it finally disappeared from view in the clouds far above. After a few minutes, a bystander asked, "How do you know the kite is still attached to the string?" "I can feel it pull," the boy replied. The same is true for us today. Christ is pulling us toward heaven. He is pulling us away from the earth toward our eternal home. We may not see him with our eyes, but we can feel his tug in our hearts. We know where he is, and we know that where he is, we will someday be. Every day, Jesus tugs on our hearts, pulling us toward heaven so that when we finally get there, we won't feel like strangers. One day soon, the Lord will give us one final tug and we'll end up in heaven forever. Until then, let the people of God rejoice. Christ has conquered. He has won the victory and defeated every foe. I want to tell you, God is tugging on your hearts to not just stand there looking around, but to do something. You see, we are called to live boldly as servants of heaven. God's calling every one of us to do something, to live boldly, and to remember that nothing we do is in vain. Nothing we do is in vain. Oh, you may not think anybody noticed. God always does. You may not think anybody cared. God always does. And so nothing we do is in vain. Scripture says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing. We also know no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, Jesus cares about your struggle. Sometimes we feel alone in this. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't know. But let me tell you, he does. Scripture tells us that give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He's working. You may not see all the details. You may not see it because we're seeing it from a different side. But there's a lot of work that God is doing in the background. So trust him with it. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening in your life, remember, you can trust him. He cares about you. Jesus has given us power to be his witnesses. Now, whether you access that power or not is your choice. But he's given it to you. It's available to you. You can be able to know that. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. God has given us the power and the ability to be a witness for him, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances. It's just a choice. But I want to say that we need to live our life that points people to Jesus. If you get angry and scream and yell at somebody in a service industry and don't treat them like Jesus, do you think they're going to want to know the Jesus that you propose to know? Not at all. You need to make sure Jesus is always shining through you, that you're living a life that shows Christ no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your choice is, because he's given you the power to do that. It's just whether or not you're willing to access the power. He's given you the power, and we need to make sure there is hope in our glorious future because he's prepared it for us. When you think about what he has prepared for us that lasts for eternity, it's pretty amazing. There's more than enough, he said, room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. I like to think about the fact that when God created the earth, and we read the creation story, he just spoke it into existence. And it's incredible. The more you get to travel and see places of this world and see things that are around us, you just are like in awe of what is around and the creation that is before us. And if that was disposable, like it's like a paper cup, you know, there's nothing like, it's not crystal glass, it's just like a paper cup, this world. Comparatively, because he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, which means the old earth is going to be disposed. Now, so if what we see and the beauty of what we see is disposable, can you even begin to imagine the crystal that's for eternity? The kind of things that he is preparing for us, just for us, that we can have. So there's an importance. He's coming again, and he wants us to be prepared. I need to make sure my own life is prepared. I need to be making sure I'm reaching those in my world. I want to take as many people as possible with me to make sure they can experience what he's prepared. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their grave. Then together with them, we who are still alive will remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds, just like he went into the clouds. And he'll come back in the clouds and we'll go up to meet him. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. So as we think about his return, it's not like scary. It's like encouraging. It's like, yes, God has such great things prepared for us. We need to make sure we're put in a place where we can be able to choose to know him and all that he has for us. Let me pray for you in closing. Father, thank you for the miracle of ascension. Thank you for going so that you could come again and come again and take us with you. We long for that. Help us not to just stand still looking around, grateful to be a part of your family, but help us to diligently reach out to the world around us that we can take as many people with us into your presence. We're grateful, Father, for your blessings and your faithfulness. For all you do, we give you thanks in Christ's name.
Man, it is great to be with you at the CWC post-sermon part. Pastor Brandon, it's wonderful to spend this time together. This is just a moment for us to have roughly 3 to 5 minutes where we can connect and continue the conversation. And Pastor Brandon, this week is the Ascension. What stuck out to you most?
Well, I think it's just interesting whenever I think of John 16:7, where Jesus says, "It is best for you that I go away."
Yeah.
So that my advocate could come, that the advocate, that the Holy Spirit can come. So Jesus had to leave in order for us to have the power of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of one of the things that stuck out to me is Pastor Arley mentioned in the message this weekend about Jesus' heavenly ministry. And even before we started, you know, our time here, we were saying like, that's not a term that really kind of sticks out in our mind. and the point of Jesus now interceding for us and advocating for us. So here's what's kind of crazy in my mind that happens is Jesus is advocating for us in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the advocate for Jesus on earth through us, yep. So that therefore we become advocates for Christ to tell the world about Jesus and his transforming work in our lives. So that just is so incredible.
It's just
transforming work.
I wonder if we've ever thought before with this whole concept of our work is not complete, because essentially Jesus's work is continued through us with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're still living post Jesus, but we're still living in the same time period with the same commands,
right,
that the apostles got,
right, yeah,
to spread,
yeah,
the message of we are a continuation of Jesus's life.
Right, right, yeah. And that's that like the term that you hear sometimes is the already not yet. And we even pray for that, and we're called to pray for that daily. Your kingdom come and will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught his disciples that. We are his disciples, and we're to carry that out here, like you're saying,
yeah,
on a day-to-day basis. And so that means, you know, for all of us here in the room and watching in your kitchen, in your car, in your living room, wherever you're at, that our work continues. So it'd be really great for you and those around you to talk about what does your continued work look like,
yeah,
in
good,
serving Christ. And, you know, whether it's in the chat, maybe you have ways that you've shared your faith, but your testimony is the way that God has transformed your life. And so share those things with others. And I don't know, Pastor Brandon, what strikes your mind about that, but the continued work is available for all of us. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you think about what Jesus did here on earth, as far as getting rid of demons, exorcising the demons, raising the dead. And then he said, because I'm going away, I'm going to give you a spirit that is going to cause you to do greater things,
yeah,
than me, mm-hmm, because of this power. And I just wonder, if we really look ourselves in the mirror every day when we wake up, do we ask ourselves, is today going to be a good representation of the continual work of Jesus, mm-hmm, Christ? Mm-hmm. And how can the Holy Spirit lead me to places, mm-hmm, where it might be uncomfortable, mm-hmm, but I think the uncomfortable is when we have to rely on the, yeah, Spirit. Because when we're in,
sure,
the comfortable,
yeah,
we don't really need that supernatural power that the Holy Spirit brings us.
Right, right.
And so if we're comfortable all the time, you probably don't experience the Spirit too much. I want to put that challenge out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if we've thought about that before, do we need the Spirit in the comfortable, or do we need the Spirit more in the uncomfortable,
yeah,
where we need more of his strength than ours? It's just a question.
No. I love that, because I've heard a preacher say once, you know, my job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And,
ooh,
yeah, so,
oh man, my type of preacher right there.
We only meet the best version of ourselves outside our comfort zone. So here's the challenge. Wherever you're at, consider, if your heart's open, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and then look for ways, because you've got the rest of today, whatever time you're watching, if it's in the morning or the evening or the coming days, Lord willing, to carry out the work that God's put before you. So talk with those around you of how you might carry out that continued work to live boldly as a servant of heaven. No matter what you're facing, Jesus will give you the power. There's hope in the future, and he's coming again and wants us to be prepared. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we would invite you to consider and come to him in faith for salvation of your soul. And if you want to tell us that, text I Choose Jesus to 88203. We love you, and it's good to be with you.
Good to be with you.